For the reading today is Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, which is on page 879 of the Old Testament. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the people walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the God, of the name of the Lord our God, for ever and ever."
Well, Gonçalo Mabunda began working in Maputo in Mozambique. And this is a photo of him. He's an artist, but he's an artist with a purpose and a passion. His workshop is filled with the remains of shotguns, the remains of AK-47s and rockets. And he takes these items of war and makes them into works of art, makes them into pictures, makes them into chairs. You can see some of his work here. So one of the things he loves to do is to work with two images particularly. One is to do with people's faces. And as you can see here, it's at first glance a face, but as you start to look closely, you start to realise that the hair around the face is not hair, but bullets. You start to realise that the face structure itself is made up of mechanical items that may have come from a weapon of destruction. And in the faces that he seeks to do, he seeks to portray something of the feeling of war. And sometimes there's a feeling of power, but he talked about the fact that sometimes he likes to display as well a feeling of fear. Often there's in his work this kind of open mouth, the look of fear. The fear of a war that was coming and then which perhaps waning and then has picked up. And how can people be so willing to cause destruction and devastation? And there's this dual image of both power and fear, all made from the weapons of war. He loves to make chairs as well, and often he sees them as thrones. This one here is called Hope Throne, made from armaments and ammunition buried in the fields of Mozambique during its 15-year civil war. If you can't see the screen, let me describe it to you. It's a metal chair, but again, it's one that looks robust. I imagine that probably it has the strength to take weight, and yet it's all made up of bullets, of pistols, of guns. Down the front there's something that looks like it's been used to bore holes. And then on the side sometimes he uses rifles for armrests and so on. These weapons of war. And yet he describes them as thrones of hope. If we look at one of his other works, you can see in the face that is here, this is called Memorias, done in 2013, and again, the face is there, but if we zoom in and start to take little excerpts and just zoom them up a bit, we can see, again, the weapons that are used to make up the art. They comment on violence. Violence that was experienced in the Mozambican Civil War. And in 1995... the Christian Council of Mozambique launched a project. And in that, they called it Transforming Weapons into Hose. very clearly taking that reference back from Micah that we've looked at. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And that project continues to be one of the main suppliers of armaments and pieces that are supplied to Gonçalo as he carries on with this work. And he seeks to take the material of death, the material of poverty, and to turn it into something positive. Weapons are deactivated and destroyed and turned into art and sculpture. And during the time, 800,000 items and weapons have been collected. 800,000 that have been used by Christian Council of Mozambique in this project. Maybe many of us have not held a gun. I know some of us here have, but not many would have held a gun. And yet, many of us know the experience of having pain in our lives. Perhaps if we were to look at this photo, and this is a photo of shattered glass, we can see there that some of the jagged edges of the glass are sharp enough to cause pain and destruction. They're the sort of things that can cause deep wounds. Some years ago, Bethlehem was besieged by troops and the destruction was massive. The Lutheran church there wanted to respond to the violence. They wanted to take something of death and destruction and turn it into something positive and peaceful. And they went about it in a number of ways. They set up on Saturday mornings a music school. They decided that as well as hearing the sounds of violence, the sounds of war, wouldn't it be lovely if there were sounds of peace and sounds of hope emanating? And so they set up that Saturday morning school for music. They planted olive trees. They planted them as signs of hope. And the people, as they planted them, had the vision that actually one day they would take the branches of the olive. They would be able to reach up, take the olive branch in their hands and wave it on the day that peace came. A symbol of hope, a symbol of peace. And they also looked around them and they saw amidst the streets, just in the places they were walking, millions of shards of glass. Broken, shattered fragments of glass. And as part of their project with the Lebanese church, what they chose to do was to take these fragments, these shards, and to turn them into something beautiful. And they transformed these broken shards that would have cut people's feet into artwork of angels and artwork of doves. They took the brokenness and turned it into something beautiful. Peace is often about knowing what to do with the brokenness. Peace is often about knowing what to do with the brokenness. And as we start to get closer to ourselves, we think, well, okay, guns seem a long way away. Broken glass, that's getting a bit closer. But what about in our own lives? What about those areas where we in our own lives feel the hurt and pain, the fragments, the shattering, the wounds, not necessarily from a physical national war, but we still know the wounds. Wounds of life that have perhaps caused us hurt and pain. Wounds of the things that people have said to us years and years ago and we just don't seem to be able to get them out of our heads. That comment that was made that's been living with us for decades. And so we put a brave face on it and we try and get a plaster and just kind of patch it up and we know it's not going to stay, but we try and do our best. And we fill our lives with diversions and things to kind of take the pain away. But we know, just as our bodies have healing resources that rush to the point of pain, so in faith we have a God who is a God who comes to that place of pain, that place of emotional pain, that place perhaps of mental pain, that spiritual wound. And God rushes to the place where we need healing. That process is called redemption. It's about having a God who is a redeemer, a God who takes the sharp and broken and shattered pieces of our lives and seeks to heal, seeks to work in our lives to bring shattered pieces into something of great value. A God who knows that brokenness is not the end of the matter. A God who is restless for our well-being. He's a God who calls us to know peace. At Christmas we'll be referring, no doubt, again to the Prince of Peace. And I want us to talk about the Prince of Peace not only in December but in November and in every month of our lives. The Prince of Peace, because he's a God who seeks and yearns and longs and has done everything that is necessary to bring peace to our lives. To bring peace so that we can stand in the midst of the storm and the waves and know actually that in this place where we have come before God, where we have brought our situation and our hurts and our pains before him and offered them to him, where we can know that place of calm in the midst of the storms and the waves. Not to stick our heads in the sand and ignore them, they're still there, but in that place where we know that actually as we come before the Prince of Peace, he is able to bring us to that place where we can offer our lives to him and say, God, would you take control? Would you be the one who transforms this brokenness, this shattered nature of life? And can you work something in it for me? He longs to transform us and he longs to transform others through us as well. Over the last few years, I've been working with a kind of a picture in my mind that's come back from time to time, and I'm feeling it's significant. It's the picture of having a rucksack on our backs, and in the rucksack as we go through life, so something hurts us and it causes us pain, and it's like a piece of kind of rusting metal, and it feels heavy and it weighs us down, and we feel that if we were to pick it up and kind of hold it in our hands and do that, it would cut into us and hurt us and cause us damage and cause marks on us. And sometimes we don't know what to do with it and we stick it in the rucksack and we carry it around with us and it kind of weighs us down a bit. We go through life and then another one comes and we don't know what to do with it, so we just kind of grin and bear it and we stick it in the rucksack. And we carry this weight around with us and we just feel the weight of it day by day. Maybe we've got used to it, used to the fact that our knees are aching. And we're carrying around this hurt and this brokenness and this shatteredness of life in our rucksack. And the Prince of Peace calls us to bring the rucksack and to bring it to him. He calls us not to be carrying the weight of it ourselves, but to recognize that on the cross, as Christ died for us, so he has paid the price. So he has taken the weight of sin and shame and death and destruction and he has held it and he has died on the cross in our place. And the rucksack takes on a new way of being as we allow Jesus to carry the weight for us. And actually sometimes as we go through life we start to realize that those experiences of shatteredness that have hurt us and pained us, that actually there is some use within them. And we start to go through life and we start to walk alongside people and we realise that we are empathising with people. We start to hear in their pain and their hurt and their shatteredness something of our own experience in our life and we think, well, maybe, actually, can I tell you a little bit about something I've gone through? And as we reach in our rucksack to get out this battered and broken and hurting and hard and heavy thing, and we're expecting it to be a piece of rusting metal, so as we hand it over to them, it's like pure gold. Because it says to them, actually, I understand what you're going through. I walk the journey alongside you. I am there with you. And I have found that in this rucksack of life, I have found one who carries it for me. And I want to offer him to you. I want to offer you not only the experience I've been through as something where I can empathize, I want to point you to the one who is the Prince of Peace. And would you allow him to carry your rucksack for you? He's the Prince of Peace who turns our brokenness and our shatteredness and our pieces into something truly beautiful. If you've got a rucksack on your back and it's feeling heavy, can we just pause and focus on those two steps? One, in the quietness today, before you go to bed, to come to God with the rucksack and ask him, through all he has done on the cross for you, to take the pain and the weight and to bear it for you. To come to him as the Prince of Peace. And then to see those items in the rucksack as something different to how you've seen them before. See them not as heavy rusting metal, but to see them as pure gold that you can share with others, to bring empathy and hope to them. In Micah 4, we hear about a national scale, don't we? We hear about wars coming to an end, of swords being beaten into plowshares. But what about the personal scale? What of John chapter 14, verse 27, our verse for the week on the front of the sheet today? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Maybe today is a day for getting out the scissors at home, for cutting out those words from the sheet, and for putting them on the fridge, or the bedside, or in the wallet or handbag, or on your university board next to your exam timetable. My peace I give to you. God wasn't willing to allow the enmity, our battling, our wounds, our pain to be unresolved. And he allowed his empathy with us, the Son of the living God, allowed his empathy with us human beings to turn not only into empathetic thoughts, but to turn into action. And he came and he lived and he died. That's what the incarnation is all about. A God who comes in Jesus to stand amongst us and to take the pain, taking our wrong, taking our pain, taking our hurt, taking our suffering and nailing it to the cross. There was a battle over death and sin, a battle that was won, a battle that leads to victory and resurrection and hope and redemption and salvation. Christ in our place. Christ our hope. Christ our peace. Jesus Christ has defeated death and sin. He has paid the price. The battle is over. The battle is won. Maybe today it's time for you and for me to come to him, to end the fighting, and to hear the sound of the birdsong. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, sometimes our life can seem like a soundtrack of gunfire. Like the sounds we heard earlier in the service, Lord, just a constant bombardment of noise and firing. And we feel we're in the midst of it. Lord, you don't always change the circumstances. But you are a God who said, come to me. Lord, we pray that we would come to you. You are a God who said to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. We pray that we would come to you to receive the peace that you have paid the price for. This is not a cheap thing, Lord. This is something that cost the life of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to give up the offer. We don't want to give up the opportunity. We don't want to give up the invitation to come to you to know peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, says Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.